Who is Jesus Christ? Is he a legend, a liar, a lunatic, or is he the Lord? Hi, I'm Mike Mason, and this is the St. Joe Society podcast. The St. Joe Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ by growing strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to know more about us, check us out online at stjoesociety.org. This is the St. Joseph Boot Camp, Episode 2. And today we're going to answer the question, who is Jesus Christ? Legend, liar, lunatic, or Lord? Now, this month, we're devoted the next few episodes to just look at who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? Last week, we talked about the fact that it's not accurate to call Jesus a nice guy, but it's more accurate to call him a good man. This week, we're going to show that Jesus isn't merely a good man, but he's actually the God-man. The way we're going to do this is we're going to look at what the New Testament claims about who Christ is. And then we're going to look at C.S. Lewis's very famous argument, Lord, Liar, and Lunatic, out of his book, Mere Christianity, to show why it is that there's good reason to believe that Jesus truly is the God-man. Now, in the New Testament, who do the New Testament authors claim Jesus is? I pulled a sampling of three authors, St. John, St. Paul, and St. Peter, to see what they said about who Christ is. Now, St. John, in his gospel, chapter 1, he says this: "The Word was God, and the Word became flesh." So the Word, capital W, was God, and that Word became flesh, which is clearly, he's clearly referring to our Lord Jesus Christ. So St. John's teaching here that Jesus is God. St. Paul in Romans chapter 9, verse 5 says this, that Christ is God over all. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, he says that in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. Here again, St. Paul's clearly teaching that Christ is God. Third, St. Peter declares that believers receive righteousness from, quote, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In these three passages, from St. John, St. Paul, and St. Peter, we clearly see that these three authors believe that Jesus is God. Now, what does Jesus believe about himself? I pulled two passages, one out of St. Mark and the other out of St. John. In St. Mark, this comes from chapter 14, verses 61 through 64. Now, the context of this passage is Jesus is standing before the Sanhedrin. It's a night he's been arrested. And he's standing before the high priest Caiaphas, and Caiaphas poses this question to him: "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Listen to Jesus' answer: "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Notice Jesus claims that he is the I am and that he seats at the right hand of power. Now, to our 21st century ears, we might think, well, that doesn't sound like a claim to divinity to me. But if you scratch surface a little bit, look what's going on here. Jesus is saying he's sitting at the right hand of power. That position of being at the right hand is a position of authority, of equality. Christ is claiming that he is equal with God. Now, how do we know that he's doing this? Listen to how the high priest and the rest of the Jews in there react to this statement. The high priest tears his mantle and says this: "Why do we still need witnesses? You've heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" And what's the decision of the Jews in the room? They condemned him as deserving to die. Caiaphas and the Jews in the room clearly understand that Jesus is claimed to be divine, and for that reason, they say he deserves death. What about John chapter 8? This comes from verses 56 through 59. The context of this passage, Jesus is debating with some Jews, and they're trying to question him on who he really is. And here's what Christ says to them: "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews then said to him, "You're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Now, again, to 21st century ears, a lot of us would say, I'm not seeing the claim to divinity there. Notice what they're saying. They're saying, Jesus is saying, Abraham looked forward to seeing his day and he was glad. The Jews respond, wait, you're like 33 years old. You're not even 50 yet. How have you seen Abraham? And he says, before Abraham was born, I am. Now, this term in here, I am, St. John uses this 7 times in his gospel, and each time it is a claim to divinity. Why do I say that? In the book of Exodus, Moses is standing on the top of Mount Sinai, and God says, Moses, I want you to go down and get my people out of Egypt. Lead them out from underneath Pharaoh. Moses says, okay, who do you want me to tell them sent me? And he says, I am who I am. The 7 times Jesus claims that he is, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd. When he says this I am term, he's claiming to be divine. And how do we know that in this passage? Look how the people react to him. After Jesus says, before Abraham was born, I am, they say this. They took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Again, we see here, the Jews are determining that Jesus deserves to die because he's claimed to be divine. So what do we see through the New Testament testimonies? What we see is St. John, St. Paul, and St. Peter are clearly claiming that Jesus is divine. We looked at 2 lines of evidence, though there's others, where Jesus himself claims to be divine. And we know he's claiming to be divine because of the reaction of those people that hear him, because they say he deserves to die because of blasphemy. So Jesus claims to be divine. This brings us to C.S. Lewis's famous argument for mere Christianity called the Lord, Liar, Lunatic argument. For C.S. Lewis, Jesus's claim to divinity gives us proposes a real problem, okay, a trilemma, okay, instead of a dilemma, trilemma, because there's 3 options: Lord, Liar, and Lunatic. Now, before I launch into his reflection on this, later writers came in and said, actually, that's not a trilemma because there's a 4th option. Jesus could be legend. Now, I want to dismiss that real quick, and then we'll return to Lewis. New Testament scholarship would overwhelmingly agree that Jesus is not a legendary figure. Now, why would I say that? The accounts of the resurrection that we find in the New Testament are all written in the 1st century. All the books in the New Testament, even critical scholars agree at this, are completely finished by the end of the 1st century. What that means is the best testimony we have of who Jesus is was written by his contemporaries. That is not enough time for his mythological and legendary status to develop, because it usually takes 200 years for that to happen. These books are being written by his contemporaries, and so calling them legend, we can really just set that aside. So since we set aside the legend one, let's return to Lewis's argument. And here's what Lewis says. I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Christ. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us, and he did not intend to. What's Lewis saying here? Jesus claimed to be God. That claim is either true or false. Now, if it's true, then Jesus is God, and we as Catholics keep on going on the way we've been living. If that claim's false, then we have an issue. If it's false, Jesus either knows it's false, which would make him to be a liar because he's saying something that he knows is false, or the claim is false, but he doesn't know it. He believes it's true. That would pit him with as being a lunatic. People who walk around claiming to be divine and they're not, but they think we are, we tend to put them in insane asylums. Okay, what we don't call them is great moral teachers. So what Lewis is saying here is that Jesus's claim is either true or false. If it's false, he's either lying or he's a lunatic. And if it's true, he's the Lord. Well, let's go through these 3 options quickly. Was Jesus a liar or a lunatic? I think it's pretty evident by reading the New Testament that he is neither. Anyone who reads the New Testament seriously agree that Jesus's actions and words are some of the most inspiring, thoughtful, and wise teachings that anyone has ever uttered in the history of the world. anybody. Even skeptical critical scholars will say the Sermon on the Mount is one of the best moral sermons ever given. People who live the way Jesus lived, the people who taught the way he taught, are not liars or lunatics. It doesn't make sense when you look at the data to say Jesus is a liar, especially about something so fundamental as whether you're God or not. And remember, Jesus is condemned to die because of this claim. So if he was a liar, he was dying for a lie, and no one does that. Second, his teaching and activity just does not show any sign that he's a lunatic. So I don't think there's any good reason to think he's a liar or lunatic. So what about his claim that he truly is God? Is there evidence that that's true? Now, it's beyond the scope of this podcast, this episode, to get into all the details around this, but I would submit two lines of evidence that Jesus, in fact, is Lord, that he's telling the truth here. One, when Jesus taught that he was Lord, that he was God, he backed these up to his contemporaries through miraculous deeds. Those are well attested throughout Scripture, and his followers did miracles as well. Second, Jesus rose from the dead bodily. Now, as I said, it's beyond the scope of this episode to get into all the details behind that. But when you look at the evidence around the bodily resurrection of Christ, there is a lot of really strong evidence that Jesus did, in fact, rise from the dead bodily. Everyone agrees the tomb is empty, and people give lots of theories why that's the case. But the explanation that he bodily rose makes the most sense by far. So when you add up Jesus' supreme conduct, his great moral teaching, the miraculous deeds he used to defend his sayings, and the evidence of the bodily resurrection of Christ, all the evidence points to the fact that he is truly Lord. Now, why does this matter? This matters because when you take Christ seriously and what he taught in the New Testament seriously, what you see is that Christ gives us an all or nothing proposal. Jesus says we are either all in or we're all out. He doesn't ask us for 70% of our life or 80 or 90. He asks for 100 of it. Look what he says in Luke chapter 9. Jesus says, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." What's he saying here? When you choose to follow him, you can't look back for any reason. You have to have 100% focus on him. Earlier in that same chapter, he says this: "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, he will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Guys, Jesus Christ is not asking us just to show up at Mass on Sunday, just to say a couple prayers before our meals. He's calling us to be his disciples, to follow him, to give ourselves to him completely. Why can he do such a thing? Why can he make such a request? I could never make that request. The President of the United States couldn't make that request. Your boss couldn't. Why does he make it? Because he is truly Lord. He's not a legend. He's not a liar. He's not a lunatic. He is the Lord of all, and he deserves 100% of us. Now, this month, the monthly challenge is what we call the first 15. This is setting aside the first 15 minutes of each day to acknowledge to God who he is and who you are in his sight, to open yourself up to allowing him to work through you all day long to turn you into the man he wants you to be. And the way we're doing this is by each morning, the first thing we do, we're going to pray the morning offering to Our Lady of Mount Carmel. By doing that, we're showing God by our actions and our words that we are his completely. Second, we're reading the Gospel of John this month. Gentlemen, I picked the Gospel of John for us to go through first because the Gospel of John, the whole point of it is to convince you that Christ is who he said he was. And so as you read it, prayerfully read it and ask yourself, is this person a legend? Is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Or is he the Lord? Ask yourself, take that question seriously. And if he shows you he's truly the Lord, then give yourself to him completely because he'll turn you into the man you always wanted to be. I'll see you next week. God bless.